the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The introit. As for me, I will call upon God, and He shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you.
Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. I will pray and cry aloud, and the Lord shall save me. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. As for me, I will call upon God, and He shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you.
Son of the Father,
Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, as you declare your almighty power above all in showing mercy and pity, mercifully grant unto us such a measure of your grace that we may obtain your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasures. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Trinity is from the 8th chapter of Jeremiah. Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why has this people slidden back, Jerusalem, in a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I listened and heard, but they do not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course as the horse rushes into the battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. How can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to others and their fields to those who will inherit them. Because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. In the time of their punishment they shall be cast down, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The apple of your eye, hide me under the shadow of your wings. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright.
The epistle reading is from the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you are Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. Now as Jesus drew near Jerusalem, He saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Then He went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house is a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." And He was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy Him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear Him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth,
and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
sermon text is from Luke 19, verse 48. They were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul begins today's epistle telling the Christians that he is imparting to them scriptural knowledge so that they won't be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. He reminds them that they had become a Christian. But before this, they were Gentiles. And as Gentiles, without the Word of God, they were led by dumb idols. Now, the New King James choice of the English word dumb may be a bit misleading to you. For when St. Paul calls the idols dumb, he's not referring to intellectually being stupid. The Greek word is aphona, meaning not able to speak, not able to make a sound. It might be better to call them a mute idol, as the New International Version does. 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these mute idols, however you were led. Now it would definitely be an insult if you followed an idol that was lacking intelligence, the dumb following the dumber. However, St. Paul is actually saying something that is a bit more insulting. He's saying that the Gentiles were listening to mute idols. They listened to something which cannot speak. Now, you might think this is contradictory, but it isn't. For people just make things up. Oh, I'm sure they claimed to know the mind of an idol, or they might have said that they had a vision from the false god. But we know the reality is there's no such thing as an idol. It's nothing at all. And thus, well, the speaking is only the thoughts of the worshiper. And because there is no actual speaking from a false god, you cannot determine some authoritative doctrine. And who's going to speak for it? Well, the idol never talks. And everybody's making up their own. It turns out that there's an endless splintering into smaller and smaller groups of people who say he says this and he says this. Each person determines what their own mute idol is saying. A good example is St. Paul in the city of Athens. He found false gods and idol altars everywhere. It says that there were over 200 of them throughout the city. He even found an altar with an inscription, "To an unknown god." One mute idol demands this and another demands that. With idolatry, who knows what is correct? Now at Corinth, today's epistle, St. Paul wanted the Christians to know that the doctrine taught in the church is the inspired and inerrant word of God. We have a God who speaks. He speaks in his word. We know exactly what is right and what is wrong. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So God's Spirit works through the Word of God and teaches us Jesus is Lord. It is only by the Holy Spirit that we have this. If someone curses Jesus, well, quite clearly, they're not being led by the Spirit of God and they're not following the Word of God. Now, this is only one example. It's true for the rest of the teachings of God's Word as well. He could use any other spiritual teaching as well. In today's Holy Gospel, our Savior Jesus Christ has come to visit Jerusalem, and here he comes as the promised Savior. When the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy Jesus, they revealed that they were not following the Word of God, and thus they were not led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And if the leaders were not following the Word of God, you can see why the people did not know the time of their visitation. You see, the temple had been turned into a store in order to steal from the people rather than being a house of prayer so the people could hear the Word of God and call upon God. All right, to return back to Paul in today's epistle, we must ask, why is he emphasizing this truth about the undivided teaching of God's Word? Well, upon closer inspection, we see that there were differences within the congregation. And St. Paul didn't want these differences to be seen as disrupting to the teaching of the one true faith. So St. Paul speaks of diversities of gifts and diversities of ministries and diversities of activities. Nevertheless, he emphasizes that it is the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. And if it is the triune God, well, then each one is going to say Jesus is Lord, and they're all going to believe in Jesus' visitation as God's appointed Savior to take away our sins. Now, the members of the church are quite different. Yet our God works through each one of them, all for the common good. Although we have different jobs in the church, I quote, "One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." And if it is the same Spirit, well, then we're all going to be confessing the same doctrine, though we are different and have different jobs. What about Corinth? There were those in Corinth who were leading the people astray by teaching their own false ideas. These people had become proud and haughty, and they thought that they knew better than the others. And thus, as false teachers, and usually this is the way it goes, they come up with something new and strange in order to impress others, show how important they are, and to draw away a following to themselves. But we know they were simply foisting upon the church their own ideas rather than Christ's teaching. What does Jesus do? He angrily drives them out of the church, those who bought and sold, and he foretells the city is going to be destroyed. 2. But for those who were being misled by the false teaching, Jesus sweeps, and then mercifully and graciously, he goes about teaching. He goes into the temple, and he teaches them for 3 consecutive days in order to bring them the truth of the Word of God by the Spirit of God. He wishes to teach them the true teaching of the one true God. That's what God does. The Psalms are filled with references to God teaching his people. Teaching is more than just an action of God. It is a statement of God's purpose. What does a God do? Well, he imparts to us heavenly teaching. Not just facts, he actually gives us saving realities. A couple examples. Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." Or another psalm, Psalm 143, verse 10 says this, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your Spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness." that's what a God does. Our triune God speaks and leads us to know Him and our salvation. That's the definition of a God. A God leads and saves His people by teaching them. And so I ask, what good is a mute idol? One that cannot talk? A mute idol cannot lead. St. Paul just shows how ridiculous it is when he says, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these mute idols, however you were led. How does that work? In today's Old Testament reading, the prophet Jeremiah explains the ridiculousness of someone that they could both be one of God's people and at the same time not know the saving truth of God's word. How can that be? So Jeremiah says, the stork and the turtle dove, they know the time of their migration. If they didn't, well, they wouldn't be a migratory bird. Jeremiah then goes on to say, but my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. How can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Jeremiah says, if you won't listen to God, how can you call yourself wise? If you don't know the word of the Lord, you're not wise and you're not God's people. Jesus says, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Those who are God's people, they know the things that make for peace. It's quite seldom that a bumper sticker succinctly sums up a scriptural truth, but, well, yep, there was one. I've seen it. No Jesus, N-O, no peace. No Jesus, K-N-O-W, no peace. It's true. Without the teaching of Jesus Christ, there is no peace. But when you have come to be taught so you know Him, you have peace. Jeremiah 8, verse 11 speaks of the false prophets, and what do they do? Well, they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. The things that make for peace are taught by God in His Word. What happens? Well, God's Word of law exposes our lack of trust in God. We fear poverty, loneliness, rejection instead of fearing displeasing God. We love material wealth, spouse, happiness more than we love communion with God. Some worry and are anxious. Other are proud, living in their sin with no shame or blushing. We need God to teach us. That's what a God does. Teach us our sins. And then God's word of gospel speaks of the visitation of our Savior Jesus, who came to show us God's love and mercy and to teach us the way of salvation. Jesus took away our sins to give us peace, peace with the Father. So Jesus taught us in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way you know. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known the Father also. And from now on, you know Him and have seen Him. The teaching of God is primarily brought to us through the preaching of the pastoral office. Jesus teaches us to know peace. The same Jesus who preached in the temple is the same Jesus who calls men to be pastors so that there is preaching in the church so that we might know peace. However, that isn't the only way that we learn that Jesus is Lord. The gifts of God overflow in a plenteous abundance. Our God uses not just pastors, He uses Christian parents to teach us and bring us up in the faith. Our God uses Christian leaders to assist the pastor and to serve the congregation. Last week we had an example. We installed several congregation leaders into a diversity of offices or jobs. Through their work, one teaches that Jesus is Lord, and God sees to it that the one and same Spirit works through all of them, distributing to each one as He has need individually. God is taking care. He's working together to make sure that as we teach the same things, everything gets done and the preaching goes out. As believing children of God, we've been taught, for our God has taught us. He speaks. He has taught us to confess our sins and believe in Jesus. We have peace with God. We know the visitation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that same Jesus has told us, "My house is a house of prayer." In this place, then, let us make sure that we hear the Word of God and offer to God our prayers for His teaching. Let us be very attentive to hear Jesus and remain in His peace. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Page 143, Create in Me, we stand.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Casting us away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have redeemed us in the gracious visitation of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, amen.
Give your holy believers zeal for your house, that we may recognize our Lord's coming to us in holy baptism, holy absolution, in the catechization of your word, and in the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless all pastors, our Bishop James, our pastors Michael and Gary, in order that they would teach us to heed your coming, so that daily we confess our sins and daily cling to the word of Christ's forgiveness. Grant safe travel for Bishop Heiser as he comes to examine the teaching and practice of our pastors this next week. Use Trinity's Early Childhood Learning Center to teach children the way of repentance unto eternal life, and bless our director, Keeley. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
O Lord, we commend to your care our President Joe, the Congress of the United States, our Governor J.B., state legislators, our Mayor Steve and city officials, all our judges, that they may rule and govern in godliness and honesty. Protect those who serve in the armed forces, especially Danny, Jason, Blake, and our police officers, especially Daniel and Alex, that they may diligently carry out their duties and be protected from all harm and danger. Grant your blessing upon all the schools of our land, To the teachers, give diligence and a love for their students. Grant an eagerness for the students to learn. Keep our schools safe from all violence, illness, and thwart the evil plans of those who would lead our children astray. Grant your holy people opportunities to witness to your love, both through their words and their deeds. Let us pray to the Lord. Bless our shut-ins, Carolyn and OSHA, as well as our elderly, Violet. Provide for the needs of Caitlin, Kevin, Linda, Rebecca, Victor and Marcia, Gibb, Howard and Stan, Demi, and Jack. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us to in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Praise
to you, God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.